Harlem Hospitality, a real good time for you and me. Harlem Hospitality Club.
In the beautiful Savoy Ballroom, Lenox Avenue and 140th Street, in the heart of Harlem in New York City, for the merry minutes of the Harlem Hospitality Club. Thank you and good afternoon, members. That's right, it's your Uncle Willie Bryant, Grand Mogul, High Potentate, Proctor of the Procedure, Tutor of the Tribunal, and Non-Compos Mentis. Welcoming you to another grand conclave of the Harlem Hospitality Club. Before we proceed to new business, our musical committee consisting of Lou Mel Morgan and the trio welcome our guests, the new members, with their own arrangement of Linda. Let's hear it.
I count all my charms about Linda. And lately it seems, in all of my dreams, I walk with my arms about Linda. But what good does it do me? For Linda doesn't know I exist. Can't help feeling gloomy. Think of all the love and I miss. We pass on the street, my heart skips a beat. I said to myself,
hello, Linda.
Linda, if only she smiled. Stop for a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with my lucky break, I make Linda mine. If only she smiled, not for a while, and then I would get to know Linda. But miracles still happen, and when my lucky star begins to shine, with my lucky break, I make Linda mine.
Stepping up to the royal podium now is our first applicant for membership to the Harlem Hospitality Club, and her name is Zella Carter, and she's from McKinsey, Tennessee. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, and you?
You know Linda?
No, I don't.
You don't? I don't either. I just heard it, though.
Well, I just know this song.
Oh, you like?
I heard this song.
You like? You like songs?
Sure.
You like dancing?
I like dancing.
You
like singing better.
You like singing better?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And are you married, Zella?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, how long have you been married?
3 years.
3 years. And where'd you marry?
I married in St. Paul, Minnesota.
St. Paul, Minnesota. Laying all jokes aside, that's my mother's home. No kidding.
Really?
A lot of times I joke, but this is really the truth. And is that where you met your hubby?
Yes, I did.
What's his name?
His name is William Carter.
His name is what?
William Carter.
William Carter?
Uh-huh.
Mine is William Bryant. Not that it matters to you, but it's funny. Whenever I... And you met him there?
Yes, I met him.
What were you doing in St. Paul?
Well, I went out there with a sister of mine. She went about a year before I went. Then
mm-hmm.
She left her little boy with us, and he was 1 year old, so she sent for the little boy. I took the little boy to my sister,
mm-hmm.
and then I decided I wanted to stay, so I stayed.
You stayed until you got married. Well, how'd you happen to meet William?
Well, I lived with my sister when I first went to St. Paul.
Uh-huh.
Then, my sister and her husband had a little fight, so...
Oh, they did?
I just thought I'd put my 2 cents in it, so the result, I got put out. And, so... So I went and spent the night with a girlfriend of mine,
yes.
And I had to stay a week or two until I could find some place to stay.
Uh-huh.
I was out looking for a room one day, and happened to go to the house where my husband was rooming.
Uh-huh.
And there was another girl that was staying there, and she asked me if I would like to share the room with her.
Uh-huh.
And so I told her I would think about it, and he happened to see me that day.
He did.
So I passed a day or two later, and he was in the basement building a coal bin.
Yes.
I had an armful of groceries, And so when I passed, he whistled.
He did? A bad thing.
So I wouldn't look around.
I don't blame you.
And then he said, "Fair lady." So I still didn't look around.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided he'd throw a lump of coal at me. So he threw a lump of coal.
He threw a lump of coal at you?
He threw a lump of coal at me. And then I went back and I was going to bawl him out good.
Yes.
So when I went back, he out-talked me and he began telling me that.
Well, what a strange...
He told me, he said, "You know, it's been several girls here this morning for that same room that you asked for," and said, "If you want it, you better put a deposit on it." So I thought he was serious. So I went and put a deposit on the room. I thought perhaps that the house was his.
Uh-huh.
So when I moved there, I found he was living on the third floor, and he was only a roomer himself.
Uh-huh.
So he wanted me to move there, and so I met him out in the kitchen one day. We had to share the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me where I worked. I told him. I found that he was working the same defense plant
that
as I was. He was on the same shift that I was.
What? So you thought it would be better that you and him just go ahead and get married so you could come home together, is that it?
No, it wasn't that easy.
It wasn't that easy? Well, no. It's a very, very interesting story. It's a very interesting story, and here's your membership card, Zella. All right. Bye-bye, Zella. And there she goes. Gee, what an interesting way to stop a lady throwing coal at her. All right. One of our visitors last week has received a notice to reappear before the High Potentate for a command performance, and here she is again, that little sensational singer, Little Miss Cornshucks. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. How are you feeling today?
Fine.
What are you going to sing for us today, Cornshucks?
Keep your hand on your heart.
Keep your hand on your heart? I'd rather keep mine on my wallet.
Keep your hand right on your heart. Yes, and your mind on me. Well, you know I love you, baby. No matter where you might be. When I first met you, it was about us two. Now you smile and make it three. Now you know, baby, you can't do that to me.
Consider the applications of Andy Addison of Atlantic City, New Jersey. Who's that?
Hi.
Oh, that's you. Hello, Andy. How are you? And Leroy Johnson from New York City. That must be you. Okay. Now, what do you do, Andy?
I'm a cook.
And what do you do, Leroy?
I'm a cook also.
Yeah? Also?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do a little cooking myself, too. Yeah, I'm an old cook. They used to call me Cookin' Williams years ago. And tell me now, do you think that women make better cooks than men, or what? What do you think?
I think a woman's a better cook.
Oh, you do? And you're a cook, too?
Yes, I am.
You're making your living cooking?
Yes, I am.
How's living?
Poor.
Yeah, poor, huh? Well, I can understand why you think women are better cooks. And what about you, Leroy?
Well, in my opinion, man is a better cook.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What makes you think so, man?
Here we go.
Well, I look.
You just said
that a woman is the best cook. Well, sure. I mean, look at your stomach and look at mine.
I'm streamlined, man. That don't mean nothing. I'm streamlined. You don't see no men marrying men for cooks, do you?
Well, I mean, that's a different point now.
I work on a job, man, and do you know that some of the biggest hotels in Atlantic City employ a chef cook? What does he do? Sit down and write it out. But who cooks that food? Women.
Oh, man, what you talking about? Well, I mean, now that's an argument is pro and con. I mean,
no, man, ain't no pro and no con. You're trying to con me. I'm getting you pro.
There you go.
No.
There you go. Go ahead, fellas.
You talking about Atlanta?
Women
this is New York now.
New York? What do they do in Atlantic City that they don't do in New York? Or what do they do in New York they don't do in Atlantic City?
Well, they eat different in Atlantic City.
No, they don't. Your biggest conventions leave New York to go to Atlantic City.
There they go.
Seafood over there. Steve.
No seafood. No sand or salt water. Yeah. They eat food there.
I mean, but you say you make your living at cooking.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Do many women work where you cook at?
Yes, they do.
Well, where you work at?
Where do I work at now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm short order cook.
Oh, you short cooking.
Yeah, right short
now.
Cooking.
I'm talking about long cooking now.
You're talking about long cooking.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't worked in hotels for so long.
Well, yeah. I mean, see, I work on a railroad, you understand?
Oh, yeah.
And,
well, who's going to get a woman to go out there and ride up and down some or not?
Wait a minute, boys. Let me get my order in here, will you? I tell you, I just stood back on the sidelines and let you go, but it looks like you're going to wind up at the blows here, so we better stop this. But really, we just wanted to find out what you think of the different cooks. Now, you all settle that cooking argument back there. Good luck to you, and there we go. Oh! All I had to do was to stand back and just keep nudging them on. I think we'd have had a good fight then. All right, our history committee informs us that every nation in the world is attempting to perfect an atomic bomb. Well, we in the Harlem Hospitality Club have a bomb of our own, likely to explode at any moment.
Ooh, I can't read it on my
head. Well, it's none other than Aunt Amanda Randolph.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Amanda?
What do you want, Aunt?
What are you going to do for us today now that you heard the cooking argument?
Man, I'm the one of the best cooks you ever seen.
Oh, you are, huh?
Yeah,
well, cook
man.
Up a song. What is it?
All right, then. A little ditty. Just a little ditty dedicated to me.
To you?
Uh-huh. All of me.
All of you?
All of me.
Quite a lot, too.
All of me. Why not take all of me? Oh, dear. Can't you see? I'm no good without you. Take my lips. I want to lose them. Quite a many. Take my arms. I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. And how can I go on, dear, without you? For you took the part that once was my heart. So why not take all of me? Swing it, that little bell.
Amazing the energy Aunt Amanda had. All right, let's have a chat with our next applicant for membership to the Harlem Hospitality Club, and she's June Williams of Newport, Vermont. Is that right?
Yes.
How are you, June?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, and according to your application, you are a student of psychology. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and where are you studying psychology?
Fordham University.
Fordham University. Oh, well, that's nice. You know, I'm an old psychology professor myself.
You are?
Why, they used to call me old Psycho and William years ago. Well, what subjects in psychology are you studying now, dear?
Well, we're studying child psychology and how to analyze them.
How to analyze children?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how are you making out?
All right.
I think that's all a family really needs to do is to study a child, and I think it'll curb a lot of delinquency throughout the country. Don't you think so?
Yes, also applies to adults.
How's that?
It also applies to adults.
Well, we didn't have that when I was studying psychology. I mean, they didn't give us that where I went.
No, they didn't.
I went to one of the finest schools in the country.
What school's that?
Well, you see, you were too young. You wouldn't remember the name of it. Yeah, well, tell me, let's you and I talk some psychology. Let's use some of the psychological words. Is that right? Yes, of course. Use some words for psychology. Name some of the big words, some of the big things.
Well, I think you're a paranoid, schizophrenia, psychoneurosis, and a minor depressive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you think that much of me. I'm old paranoid. That's
right, you are kidding.
Say, now maybe you're getting different studies than I got. What is a paranoid?
Well, you're really one. You think you're a big shot, just a loop.
Oh, is that what a paranoid?
Yeah,
oh, no. I'm not a paranoid.
Superiority complex.
You think I have a superiority complex? All that's in what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, in other words, you're going to psychoanalyze me.
That's right.
Well, suppose I give you some of my symptoms, and maybe you can psychoanalyze me better. Now, my symptoms are I like to sit on hot stoves and walk around with sardine cans in my shoes.
Maniac depressive.
How's that?
You're a maniac depressive.
I'm a what?
Maniac depressive.
I'm a maniac depressive?
Depressive.
Depressive. Yeah, well, maybe I am depressive.
Depressive.
Well, I mean, now tell me, what would you suggest that I do now with those symptoms?
Well, the next time you go to buy a suit, make sure you got a built-in straitjacket with it.
A built-in... Wait a minute, dear. I love to talk to these students because they really know what they're talking about. Wait a minute. No, you don't either. But really, that's really nice of you. And here's your membership card. Thank you, and good luck, and bye-bye. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Gee, I'm something with that psychology. I think I better let that alone, too. I didn't know I was so many things in one afternoon. Little Miss Cornchucks is back again with a problem. She wants to know, have you ever loved somebody? Is that right? Okay, let's hear it.
Somebody, have you cried light of day? Have you ever loved somebody? Have you cried light of day? If you've ever been in love, the price love makes you pay. Well, he made me his slave, but someday I'll be free. Yes, he made me his slave, but someday I'll be free.
Why, Cornchucks?
price love makes you pay.
Well, it's visiting time now as we stop for a look-in with one of our older members and invite her for a brief journey down memory lane. And her name is Mary Pierce of Williamsburg, Virginia. Hello. How do you feel?
Fine. How are you feeling?
Oh, no need to kick unless you're swimming.
Well.
Tell me, Mary, how old are you?
76.
76.
76 years old.
Mary?
Yes, Mr. Ryan.
Yes? I said, are you married?
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no?
No.
No, 76? Have you ever been married?
No.
Never been married?
Never.
And why weren't you ever married?
Well, I couldn't find anybody to suit me.
Well, tell me, can you remember the early days back in your home of Williamsburg, Virginia?
Well, I can remember a few. I lived on the old Colonel Ewell of the State.
On the what, dear?
Old Colonel Ewell of the State.
Colonel Ewell of the State?
Which was the president of the College of William and Mary.
Uh-huh.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reared really around him anyway.
Oh, really? And can you remember, did you have any boyfriends when you were...
Oh, I had plenty of boyfriends.
Plenty?
Plenty.
But you just never could find one that would
Couldn't
make a
find
good...
one that I thought would...
make a good husband.
Yeah.
Well, did you used to go to dances and do a lot of singing?
Very fond of dances.
Yeah, what kind of dancing did you like?
Oh, waltz and two-step.
Waltzing and two-step. Did you like to sing?
I didn't like these zig-a-zig dances.
Did what? The what kind of
dances? The zig-a-zig dances.
Zig-a-zig?
Like they do now.
In other words, you mean like the Lindy Hop? And
yes,
the,
them things. I didn't like them.
You didn't like them? A little too fast for you, huh?
Yeah. Two-step waltz. So graceful. I like graceful.
Oh, you like graceful
dancing.
Waltzing, huh?
Yeah.
And what was your favorite dance you said when you were young?
Waltz.
That was just waltzing. It's just nice and that's very fun. Smooth.
Sure.
And tell me, do you like children?
Very fond of children.
You are very fond of children?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know many kids in your neighborhood?
Oh, I know. All the children around there know me as Aunt Mary or Mom.
Aunt Mary or Mom.
Yes.
And you just like a bunch of kids around you
around
all the time.
Around me all the time.
And do they mind you?
Very good.
Yeah.
A little bit scare-shy on me sometimes, you know, especially if they think they're doing wrong.
Well, that's the way they should be. And what do you do to entertain the kids? Do you tell them...
just talk to them, you know, and try to make them live right and do right and not be fighting or anything like that.
Well, that's very, very sweet. Now, tell me... Do you read little stories out of the books or recite poems?
Oh, I read little stories to the kid upstairs there, the little upstairs with me.
And do you recite poetry and whatnot to them?
Sometimes, yes.
Can you remember any poetry that you...
Well, yes, I can speak my first piece I ever spoke.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd like to hear it.
We are but minutes, little things, each one furnished with 60 wings, with which we fly on our unseen track, and not a minute ever comes back.
That's very lovely. Well, that's very, very lovely. Just think, you don't have any children of your own, but the whole neighborhood knows you as Mom or Aunt Mary.
Yes.
Well, good luck to you and the thing that you're teaching the kids, because I know that they're going to appreciate it as they grow older. There's your membership card. All right, thank you, goodbye, and God bless you. Bye-bye now, and there goes Mother. All right, I have a note of warning for all our members. Open your cyclone cellars, because here she comes again, Amanda Randolph. Amanda, get right into it. What is it going to be?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see what it is. Oh, too many times. Everything gets better. See, that introduction again, honey, until I get some breath together. Oh, you filled my heart with pain, left me in the rain too many times. I believed you when you cried, honey, but you lied too many times. If you called me, you could always find me waiting around your old front door. I still love you, but you're awfully aggravating, and you ain't gonna hurt me no more. I used to tell me that you'd stay, but you went away. Oh, man, too many times. Should have learned my lesson once, but I have to be a dunce. Oh, boy, too many times. Though it's over and through, I'll be thinking of you every time a wedding bell chimes, 'cause you left me standing at the altar, Willie, too many times. Oh, boy, oh, you feel my heart say, oh, I got to get through, say, too many times. I believe you when you cry, oh, honey, but you lied. Too many, oh, man. If you come to you can always find me waiting, waiting around your old front door. I still love you, but you're awfully aggravating. And you ain't gonna hurt me no more.
No, no more.
You tell me, but you have to go away. Too many times, I can't get sexy on this. But I have been done too many times. So it's over and through, I'll be thinking of you every time when bell chimes. Cause you left me standing after all this, baby, too many times.
Oh, I don't know what we're going to do with that Amanda Randolph. All right, from Snow Hill, South Carolina, now comes Elizabeth Singleton, whose application blank states she wants to become a member of the Harlem Hospitality Club. Hello there, Elizabeth.
Hello, Uncle Willie. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I understand that you have a problem.
Yes, I had a dream last night.
You did?
Of how you cook Southern barbecue pig.
Southern
so
barbecue
I'm wondering
pig?
If I'm right.
Well, let's hear it. We'll tell you. I'm
well,
old pig cooker.
You get you some oak wood. The reason why I said get some oak wood, because if you get pine wood, it might taste like pine.
It might.
Then you dig a hole in the ground. You dig a hole in the ground about 6 feet wide and 2 feet deep.
Yeah, for a big pig.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you get yourself four iron rods on each side of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And after you get the four iron rods, you take a piece of steel wire
mm-hmm.
and hang over the hole.
I'm listening. I have my turban on
and
here.
Then
I'm listening.
You, then you clean, the pig is all dressed.
Mm-hmm.
You got this oak wood with a nice red hot coal.
Yes.
And then you get your solution with hot pepper and
yes.
vinegar.
Yes.
And a long stick with a white napkin. You
long
wrap
stick.
Around the stick.
You wrap around the stick.
Then after you got these coals and the pig is on with the belly side down first.
Yeah, with the what?
With the belly side down
yeah,
first.
Yeah, I heard you, yes.
Then you put the hot coals under the pig.
You dreamt all this.
Yes, yeah, so I dreamed that.
Keep on dreaming. I'll wake you up.
Right.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So then you put the hot coals under the pig and let the belly side cook about 2 hours.
Yes.
And basting it every so often with this solution.
Yes.
Then you turn the...
Solution, yes. Go ahead.
And then you turn the outside up and let that cook about 2 hours.
Yes.
Then the pig cook about 4.5 hours.
Yes.
Then you got yourself a nice, good, Southern barbecue pig.
Is that right, members? Is that recipe right? Well, you are an old pig cooker, I assure you. Now you can wake up, and when you woke up and found out that the pig wasn't there, weren't you hungry?
Yes, I was very hungry.
Well, I am too now, if you want to know the truth. But I think hereafter, you mustn't think about pigs when you go to sleep, because you're going to dream about cooking them. Now, you have your special membership card. But we've got to go, because word comes from our recording secretary that our minutes for today are just about up. But don't forget...
United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.